they need and we don't have it, one possibility is then we don't really need it. We want it. We think we need it. We don't really need it. And God is teaching us or developing something in us or strengthening us by allowing us to do without this thing that we think we need. So we don't really need it. Other possibility is this, that God has provided the means for this need to be met in your life, but you haven't taken the steps to meet that need yourself. Sometimes God provides the means for our needs to be met, and we don't use those means for our needs. You know, we live here in America, and it's one of the most materialistic cultures that you can imagine. And in America, we have added so many things to our list of necessities. You know, we're out running around, and we go through Harrisburg. I always say to Pam, do you need anything at Walmart? Do you need to stop and get, while we're here, is there anything you need? Have you ever done this? You need soap. You need shampoo. You need toothpaste. And so you go, well, yeah, there's a couple of things I need. I need some Right Guard or deodorant or whatever you use. We're out. And so you run into Walmart to get what you need. But you got one of those baskets, one of those carts as you were going in to pick up those couple little things you need. And by the time you get to the checkout counter, you got all this other stuff in there. And you may have, as you were going along, saw that and said, well, I need that. I need that. Well, you didn't. Did you really need it? We have developed in our culture a list of things that we think we need that we don't really have to have. And I have seen it. People go without food on their tables while they pay for their cable TV and their smartphones, because they need that TV and they need that smartphone or they need that satellite dish, whatever it is. We need it. I've seen people let their rent and utilities go unpaid, but they've got their cigarettes or their video games or whatever their particular thing is. The truth is God has promised to supply our needs. So if we don't have, either we don't need it or God's given us the means to have it and we haven't used those means to get it. Psalm 69 verse 1, the psalmist says, save me, O God. You get down to verse 18, and he says, draw near to my soul, ransom me. And David goes on there in that psalm, and he's talking about redemption and salvation, and he's talking about being redeemed from an earthly problem. But he's giving thanks to God for rescuing him. But his earthly problem and God's salvation from it points us to the truth about our eternal redemption. We give God thanks. We can give thanks in every circumstance because of our everyday blessings, but also because of our eternal redemption. Are you a child of God? Are your sins forgiven? When Christ comes again and you stand before His throne, are you going to be judged from the book of works? Or are you going to be judged from the book of life? Is your name in the book of life? Then you always, every day, every hour, every moment, you have a reason to give thanks. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. You all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him would what? Not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in every circumstance we face, in every trial, in every obstacle, in every difficulty, in every illness, through in any experience of grief, in anything that happens in life, that when things get hard, in every circumstance, no matter what comes our way, when you have Jesus, when you have eternal redemption, you have something to give thanks for. You have a reason to praise God. Our daily blessings are a reason for us to celebrate Thanksgiving. Eternal redemption is a reason to worship God every day of our lives with a grateful heart, even in the midst of the darkest hours that we experience. Think about Paul and Silas. They're arrested. The authorities beat them. And then they lock them up and they chain them in the inner jail, the scripture says, the inner jail, and I can only think that means the worst place for the worst criminals in the prison. For what? For telling people about Jesus? For proclaiming the truth of the gospel? And the Bible says that at midnight they were locked up in there, chained up, saying, "Oh Lord, why did this happen to me? Oh Lord, woe is me. Oh Lord, this is it." They were looking at each other saying, "If we get out of here, we're never preaching about Jesus." No, that's not what they did, is it? The Bible says that at midnight they were singing praises to God. They were singing praises to God. They weren't grateful to be in jail, but they were grateful that they have a God who has redeemed them and saved them. They had a Savior whose name is Jesus. They're so grateful for who Jesus is that their every intention was, if we ever get out of here, we're going to tell the next person we see about Jesus. And literally, the next person they saw was the jailer after God opened the doors. And they told him about Jesus, and him and his whole family got saved. Oh, they're singing praises, and God shook the jail. They couldn't stop singing and giving thanks to Jesus. People, your redemption is a gift. It is a great gift from God, and it's a gift of grace. We don't deserve it. You know the verse, Ephesians 2:8, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of your own doing. It is what? The gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're saved by grace, and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." To the praise of His glory. We're not saved by our own works, and we don't stay saved by our works. We are saved by the grace of God, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, of our salvation, of our eternal redemption, to the praise of His glory. And so when things aren't looking good, when things are going bad, when things are happening that you cannot give thanks for, and you cannot have a grateful heart for your circumstances, you can always look to your redemption. You can look to Jesus Christ. You can look to God's grace by which you are saved. And you can look to the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed, to the glory of God, to the praise of His glory. Now that's an interesting phrase, to the praise of His glory. And that's the third foundation. of our gift giving, our thanksgiving, our giving of thanks. Yes, we give thanks for our daily blessings, and we give thanks for our eternal redemption. The greatest reason of all, the greatest foundation of all, the greatest reason we can still give thanks in the face of terrible circumstances is the glory of our glorious God. Our glorious God Himself, He is the foundation of our thanksgiving. You know, we can never in this life, in this world, fully comprehend how glorious God is. In His nature, in His person, in His thoughts, in His actions. We can never fully comprehend it. Psalm 113 says, "Praise the Lord, praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens." And then it says this, "Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and earth?" No one. The answer is no one. No one is like Him. No one is greater than Him. No one even approaches Him in glory. Our God Himself is the greatest reason for giving thanks. The Bible tells us that God's glory fills the earth and overflows the universe, and tells us that His glory is so great that this world is nothing compared to His glory. Romans 8:18 says, "The sufferings of this time, for this present time, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us." Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, Paul wrote this, it's kind of a testimony. He says, "The surpassing worth of knowing Christ, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." So there's nothing in this world. This world is nothing compared to God's glory, to His glory. And when we look at the glorious God, we see the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And Paul talks about it, and he says that knowing Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, is worth more than anything else in the world. I count everything else as lost. And he says, for His sake, for the sake of knowing Jesus, I've suffered the loss of all things. So understand this, we don't just give thanks for the things God gives us. And our salvation isn't great just because of what we're delivered from. Our salvation, by the way, is great because we've been delivered from our sin. And our salvation is great because we've been delivered from hell. But it is even greater because of what we've been delivered into. Into His kingdom and into a relationship with Him and into being able to know God and His glory. And so we worship today and we give thanks in everything because God has given us the gift of Himself. The gift of His glory. There's nothing greater than knowing God. There's nothing greater than walking with Him and being in His presence. The surpassing worth of knowing Him. And then one more thing here. We are being transformed by the glory of God. We think about the glory of God and we look out in the world and we can't find anything else that compares in any way, shape, or form to the glory of God. And when we think about the glory of God and knowing Him, and we understand that the worth, the value, the importance of knowing Him is greater, that it has the highest value that there is. There's nothing more valuable than that. But then on top of that, God's glory is changing us. Transforming us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. See what Paul's saying? He says, as we experience God, as we come into His presence, as we receive the Holy Spirit, as we see and know God in His Word, as we see God acting in our life, as we see God and we see the glory of God around us, and we behold the glory of the Lord, it changes us. And we're being transformed into the same image. What's the same image? The image of God, the image of Jesus. We're being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to another. And he says, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We are being transformed by the glory of God. Wow. Our God is so great and so mighty and so glorious that just being in His presence and beholding His glory changes us. And understand this, you cannot be in God's presence. God cannot indwell you with His Holy Spirit and be present in your life and not leave a mark, not change you. Now listen, if you've not been changed, you've not been saved. If you've had some kind of experience, but it didn't change you, it didn't change your heart, you're not a new creation, you're not a new person, you are not born again. You've not been saved. Because when God saves you, He changes you. And He puts Himself in you. And He is so great and so glorious that you cannot have that experience and not be changed. If you've met God, you are not the same. You've been born again. You're a new creation in Christ. So give thanks. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you, for us, in Christ Jesus. Thank God for your daily blessings. You'll miss a few, but try to count them. And thank God for your daily blessings. Count them and watch them multiply. Be thankful for your eternal redemption. No matter what comes your way, what tough, difficult circumstances show up in your life, give thanks because you're saved. You're redeemed for all eternity. Always, always, always give thanks for your glorious God. In the face of everything and all else, the greatest gift you have is the gift of God Himself. When we don't feel thankful, we need to think about God. We don't feel thankful, we need to think about our eternal redemption. When we don't feel thankful, we need to focus on our daily blessings. And we find ourselves in that place where we just can't say thank you. We just don't feel like worship. We just don't want to praise. You got to stop. And you got to get your eyes off the circumstances that have put you in that spot. You got to get your eyes off the things of the world that you have elevated above the things of God. And you've got to get your focus back and your thoughts back on heavenly things, on the things of God. And you'll start realizing again, seeing again, the blessings, the daily blessings that you have, the things you have that are good in your life. And you can get back and you can focus on, I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. Jesus gave everything for me on the cross. And you're going to start feeling thankful. And you think about the beauty of knowing God. Our beautiful God. The beauty of knowing Him. How can you not be thankful? Father, we just ask you, Lord, take our hearts. Lord, we get down, we get discouraged, we become ungrateful. Lord, forgive us of that sin. For you have said, it is your will that we give thanks in everything, in every circumstance. Lord, if this week is being hard for us, there's something going on that has reminded us of difficulties or problems, and we're just not looking forward even to celebrating Thanksgiving, and we can't look forward to Christmas, and Lord, there are things that are holding us down, holding us back. Lord, oh, Lord, help us to just turn loose of those and let you have them. And help us to look around and see what you have done and what you're doing. And then, Lord, just let us see your face and see how glorious and great and beautiful you truly are. Lord, I want to pray. I just want to lift up a prayer for any person in this place this morning that's struggling with being grateful. And Lord, Lord, just help them to hear and know that you understand. And Lord, that you want to address that with your own love and your own peace and your own comfort in their life. And you just want them to embrace you and receive you and accept you. Trust you. Lord, help us to see that when we aren't grateful, it's